The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So welcome. It's nice to see you all. I've been gone for a few weeks and you guys are still here. It's fantastic. I love it. Right? Sometimes when we go away, we have this, like, is everything going to be still exist when I return? You know, but yes, here we are. So I'm going to continue on this series on the inner critic. You know, for those of you who have been coming here, you know that for weeks I've been talking about the inner critic, and it seems like there's a lot to say. And wow, the inner critic just shows up in so many different ways. And could be just a useful reminder that we don't have to believe it. We don't have to fall under the spell of the inner critic. So one thing that this inner critic does is maybe it finds fault with one particular thing that maybe we could have done better, or maybe we did perfectly fine, but we think we could have done better. But it just starts with one little thing. Like maybe we we're a little bit curt in our response in an email, or maybe we weren't generous in our driving in traffic or something like this. But what the inner critic does is it takes this one particular event and then turns into this gross generalization. So something that we did, all of a sudden we're a bad person. Or we don't know how to do anything, or you're always going to do this. And this is just another indicator how things are wrong. Or maybe the language that's being used isn't that obvious or that flagrant, but it has this mood of this, of anything that we do, like something that we've done, it turns into this, just in general, you're often has this mood of not good enough. Just you as a person is not good enough just because of this one little thing that maybe you did perfectly fine, but there's a part of you that thinks that it should be better, or maybe you did make a mistake. Welcome to the club, right? All of us humans, we make mistakes. It's a characteristic of humans. And so these negative comments that we hear about ourselves, kind of like casting aspersions on ourselves or dictating how we should be. You should do this, you should not do that. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And for some of us, this inner critic is such a constant companion. It feels like it's completely normal and usual, and this is how things should be. But the way that there's this kind of like attacking or putting down or shaming or blaming or rejecting ourselves, this is not the best way to live our best life. This way, there's a way in which there's kind of this shutting down when that happens. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the inner critic is not so kind. It's actually kind of harsh and judgmental. I use this word, ouch. That's just kind of sums it up, like, ouch. So one thing that we can do is, can we have this orientation, this intention to meet the inner critic with some kindness in the way that's whatever available at that time? Doesn't mean we have to love it. Doesn't mean that we have to all of a sudden think it's the best thing ever. It doesn't mean that we have to like ignore or pretend all these other things don't exist, all these, but it just means that can we have this orientation of, okay, here's this inner critic thing. Well, here you are, and just kind of like this bow, like, come on in, you're already here. I might as well just serve you some tea or something here, or something like this, right? So as opposed to this kind of contraction and this like aversion or trying to ignore it, ostriching or something like this, can we just have this orientation of kindness? And there's something that we can see that when we have this orientation of kindness, which may be just the absence of shoving it away. I don't want to set a really high bar what this kindness is. I just want to have this little shift of our relationship. So away from aversion, away from hatred of the inner critic or something like this, but towards kindness. Can we have a kind regard? And on an earlier session when I was talking about inner critic, I used this expression about fierce compassion. It's kind of like recognizing, okay, here's this inner critic, and is there a way that we could have this fierce compassion that says something like this? And I'll offer this during our meditation. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but this is not helpful. Kind of like bullying me, shaming me, blaming me, judging me in a way that makes me feel awful. So this way, this like, I know you're trying to help kind of acknowledges the existence, and saying that it's not helpful is, you know, not treating it with ill will or aversion, trying to make it different. Having maybe a kind regard, like, yep, this is how it is right now. So we'll do some little bit of loving kindness practice just to kind of like warm up the heart. I like to do this. I like to start with where it's easy and kind of like rest in some loving kindness that might be more available. And then we'll move over into working with the inner critic. Okay, so with that as an introduction, well, let's do some meditation. Just taking a meditation posture. Feeling into the posture, feeling into what does it feel like to be embodied at this moment. Noticing the pressure on the body from the chair or cushion or whatever it is you're sitting on or lying on. And then resting that attention on the sensations of breathing. Feeling that experience of taking an in-breath. And the experience of taking an out-breath. When the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, a being for whom that's unhesitating to have this warm feeling towards, this uncomplicated, just naturally, like if you were a dog, you would wag your tail when you thought of this person. Or this, maybe it's a furry family member. It doesn't have to be a person. Maybe it's one of your pets, or maybe it's somebody that you don't know personally, but with their writings or teachings, they really touched you. And you have this respect and admiration and love for them, whomever it might be. You can bring this lovable being to mind and connect with them in whatever way makes sense for you. Bringing them to mind. Maybe just radiating warmth towards them. It's not always available. And sometimes it can be a support to use phrases in a kind of like a rhythmic way to remind the mind and the heart to begin again with cultivating loving kindness. So keeping this lovable being in mind, we can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. connecting with the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then can we expand our loving kindness to include ourselves? Of course we include ourselves with loving kindness. In the same way with the lovable being, can we allow it to spill over or grow or stretch into loving kindness for ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Some people find it helpful to start loving kindness for themselves by bringing to mind a picture of themselves when they were really happy. Might be from childhood, might be from a celebratory event. And connecting to that version of oneself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then bring to mind a difficulty that you're having, or maybe a mistake that you made, and on a scale of 1 to 10, something that's on the order of 2 or 3, really minor. Here's some phrases we can use to be with this, to hold this with some compassion and some care. Don't have to use all these phrases. Just, you're welcome to just choose one and use that one. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Or maybe bowing to the inner critic and saying something like this: I know you are trying to help, but it's not helpful. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. Maybe to encourage ourselves by using these phrases: I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. can we have an orientation towards kindness and intention towards kindness when we notice our inner critic? May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you are trying to help, but it's not helping. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea of having an orientation towards kindness, when we recognize that the inner critic has arisen. I think the last time I spoke, I talked about, like, let's not criticize ourselves for being critical. So it's this same idea of, can we just not add aversion on top of aversion, or ill will on top of ill will, or whatever words we want to use. But as best we can we recognize that, okay, the inner critic has arisen, it's here, and can we treat it more as a companion, maybe a companion that's annoying and a companion that we don't have to believe, but we don't have to, like, pretend it's not there or kick it and shove it and punch it or something like this, right? Like, okay, you're here anyway, let's go. You know, I'm not going to listen to you. It doesn't matter what you're saying, right? That kind of an attitude. So I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk amongst yourselves about this idea of having this orientation towards kindness. And for those of you who showed up a little bit later, I'm having to end tonight's class a little bit early. So we're going to... So we meditated for a little bit less time, and we'll be in the groups for a little bit less time. And so when you're in the groups, there's no need to say everything that you, all your thoughts about this particular idea of having this orientation towards kindness. Then just say one point and then let it go to the next person. And then they say one point and then let it go to the next person. And then they say one point. And then it comes back around to you, the first person. And after that, you will have heard some other people speaking, and maybe there, it's something new has arisen in you that wasn't there before. So this is such a contrived way of speaking. This isn't the usual way that human beings talk to one another, but it can be really helpful as a way to help have a different, you know, like maybe there's an opportunity for ourselves to say something that maybe we wouldn't normally say if we were going to have a story in which we already know the beginning, the middle, and the end of the story, but we're creating the conditions in which, well, you might, there might be something new after you've said something and you've heard somebody else say something. Okay, so we're just going to be in these groups for 9 minutes. So this is shorter than you are. I often am putting you in there, but let's see. And if it's helpful, let's have you go in alphabetical order. Oh, whoops. Let me just even these up a little bit. Okay. Oh, whoops. Yep, there we go. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back. We have time for, like, we have just a minute or so before we have to go and we have to sign off. Does somebody have a question or a comment or something they'd like to add or ask? No? So just a reminder that what's happening at... Oh, Jamie, you have a question. Yes, Jamie.
I just felt really fortunate to meet someone I had not been in a small group before. And I love the format of these, that we spend time in the small groups. It's just, it's wonderful and really builds a sense of Sangha.
Great, great. Thank you. I'm happy to hear that. Happy to hear that. Okay. So in 10 minutes, Lee Brazenton will be, so it'll be, it's a different Zoom channel, so you'll be kicked out of this Zoom meeting, and if you want, you can log back into another one. And as I mentioned earlier, Lee is talking about his teacher, Aya Kema, this amazing woman. You know, she died, I think, some time ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe more than that, but she was kind of one of the pioneers in bringing loving kindness to the Western world. Mm-hmm. And so Lee wrote a book with kind of using some of Aya's writings. And so if you'd like to learn more about that, you can find it at sati.org. You know what? I'm not sure. Here we go. Thank you, Rob, for putting that in the chat box. Rob will be the host for what we're doing. So if you're interested, here's a link to what's going to happen in 10 minutes.
Diana, do you know how long it is?
I think it's an hour and a half.
So I'm at, and I'll be 11:30. I'm on the East Coast.
It'll be late.
I'm calculating. Okay.
Okay, so with a deep bow of appreciation, and if you'd like to unmute and say goodbye, and I'll see you guys on Thursday. So bye-bye, and thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.